Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast-to-coast. 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, a Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad to tell you that Dr. Mary Hessler-Key is with us, as she has been many times over the last several years. Mary's a business consultant. She's a speaker, a trainer, an author extraordinaire. The first book that I know about was The Entrepreneurial Cat, which is something we talked about a long time. And then another one, her new book is called What Animals Teach Us. Mary's our good friend. Mary, welcome back.
Well, it's a delight to be on. Gee, Jim, we go way back. I'm one of your original brain trusts.
You are one of my original brain trusts, and I've got the numbers here, by the way. We're like baseball. We keep up with these things, Mary.
You're very good about that.
The first time you were on my show was, in fact, we're just now, have just gone beyond our five-year anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
March 13th was mine and your five-year anniversary. How about that?
Oh, happy anniversary.
But I appreciate your commitment to us. I told the audience earlier that you care a lot about what we do and what small business owners do, and you make a major commitment to that in your profession. And we appreciate that, Mary. One of the things that I know you want to talk about that you do in your profession, in your daily life all the time, is coaching CEOs, coaching business owners. And one of the things that I've noticed over the years, and you probably have too, is that owners, especially owners of small businesses, don't like to admit that they can't do something, because it makes us feel like we're uncompetitive. It makes us feel like we believe that we should already know some things, and so we're a little reticent to get anybody to come in and help us out. And that's one of the worst attitudes that you can have, isn't it?
Well, you know, it really is. And I think part of the reason is people believe that if they seek out help, someone to be a support, a mentor, an advisor to them, that signifies some kind of weakness or mm-hmm. that something's not right. And the truth is, all the best performers, and that's what you are when you're CEO of a company, all the best performers have coaches. Tiger Woods has a coach, mm-hmm. although I should mention him. He didn't do so well in the Masters. But, you know, you see it a lot in athletics. Yeah. But in real life, I can tell you from working with large companies as well as entrepreneurial ones that the best and most successful people have outside resources that help them move the bar up.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And I mentioned this earlier, Mary. When I was a full-time consultant, I was working with some pretty smart CEOs, and you know, they knew all about their business, but they were so close to it that they weren't able to see some things. And I came in and I helped them to see some things. And then, but after, over time, we became so close, me and several of my clients, that whenever I was making a decision about what I should do with my business, mm-hmm. I would go to them and they would be my consultant.
Yeah. And that's a very powerful. Well, one of the things that I've done in the past for Inc. magazine and now in my own practice is actually have CEO roundtables. Mm-hmm. I work with two roundtables, actually three roundtables right now. And really the purpose is to bring together the combined intelligence and experience of the group to bear on someone's business issue. I think the problem, Jim, is that when it's just done on an informal basis, mm-hmm. Many times the best performers don't know how to coach. You know, Michael Jordan mm-hmm. was a great player, but Phil Jackson made the team sing,
yeah.
you know, through his coaching. And I think that that's something that happens, that you can get advice from people and from their experience, but sometimes people can't help you hone in on certain issues.
Well, you notice that when I said my clients helped me,
yeah.
I said they consulted with me. I didn't say that they coached me, because
yeah.
I agree with you. I think there is a distinction that needs to be made
yes.
between somebody who just cares about you and can see some of the things that you can't see and helps you along, and somebody who's actually invested in you professionally, who really knows the techniques and the specifics of how to coach you.
Yes, exactly. And one of the things I use in the coaching, because so much of coaching is about getting the results you want. And so when we start with what are the results you want in your business and you want as a leader, and back out of that and say, well, what impacts results? Well, it's the behaviors. Many times people in leadership roles are using old behaviors, behaviors from way back when they might have, you know, been a salesperson, or when they might have been in a more bureaucratic role, and they hold on to certain behaviors because they don't question them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And those behaviors are not impacting the results or creating the results that the person wants.
Right.
Once we start examining some of those behaviors, then we get into what are some of the attitudes, beliefs. We get into the emotional intelligence of the person may or may not have. When I talk about emotional intelligence, I'm talking about things like self-awareness, ability to empathize, ability to bond with a group or to create team spirit. These are all places where people at the more senior levels fall down. IQ usually isn't the sticking point.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually, as Daniel Goleman coined the term, EQ, or emotional intelligence,
mm-hmm.
Is where a lot of folks fall down. So in my coaching practice, and I do some face-to-face, and also have people I work with around the country that sometimes I work with by phone, and people on my staff do as well, what we often do is administer an emotional intelligence assessment. And then we begin working on some of the attitudes, the beliefs that are impacting the behaviors, that are impacting the results.
Now, what would it sound like if somebody called you and they are you work with them face to face? What would be a typical example of where somebody their EQ was getting them into trouble?
Well, I recently was working with a person who is at a very senior level in a larger company. And what's happening for her is that she showed up as having really below standard impulse control. This is a fairly common, actually, thing that happens in a lot of entrepreneurs.
Because you're right.
A lot of them are like ADD kids. They're real
mm-hmm.
hyperactive. And I know because I am an entrepreneur. But I've been around a lot of them. And so for her, it's impulse control.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, I'll tell you what we did.
Yeah, stand by. We're going to take a quick break and come back and find out what happened to this young lady who couldn't control her impulses. And we're going to do that right after these messages. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Mary Hessler Key, and her new website is MaryKeyAssociates.com. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Mary Hessler Key, Dr. Mary Hessler Key, is our guest. She's the author of What Animals Teach Us, and that book and The Entrepreneurial Cat are available wherever books are sold, and they can find them at your website too, can't they, Mary?
Absolutely. MaryKeyAssociates.com.
MaryKeyAssociates.com. Check that out. You can find out more about, if you're wondering what a coach does, if you want to learn more about this, check out Mary's website. And Mary, I'm glad you reminded us that you also work with people in a virtual way. You don't have to see them face-to-face. If somebody wanted to contact you and get you to coach them virtually, I've actually done that as well, folks. It works fine.
Yeah.
Well, all you got to do, and you know what? I'm not even so sure it doesn't work better in some ways, Mary, because if you know, it's almost like there's a separation between you and me when we're whoever I'm talking to when we're virtual, and I don't have to meet you on the street. You know, I don't go to church with you. And so if I'm telling you all these things that I'm a little bit kind of reticent to talk about because it again makes me feel a little bit weak, then maybe the virtual part actually works out better. And I've done it myself, folks. I've done it both ways. Mary, you were telling us about this young lady who had impulse problems.
Yeah, actually, she wasn't that young. She was in her 40s.
I was trying to be gallant here.
Well, that's okay. And the problem was, she got to a certain level in the organization, and she got to a place where she had to act on almost everything she wanted to say. So the problem became, she would say things that came to her head in meetings.
That sounds like Tourette's.
Yeah. Sometimes she would impact, customers because of that same trait. And when she got angry, it was very difficult for her to control her temper. And
wow.
You could see pretty easily she'd be angry in that her face would turn red and she'd become very abrupt. She wouldn't yell or scream because mm-hmm. I guess that's not as appropriate for women. But a lot of men have that same issue. And, of course, I've dealt with men in the same place. And what the impact on them is they usually hit a place where they can't go further because they lose the respect of people in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So impulse control is an important one. Now, if you're running your own company, you're head of your own company, you can say, well, I don't care. But the reason you should care is that your behavior sends a huge message all the people that you lead. And if you want the top talent to stay in your organization, it needs to be a great place to work.
Or even the bottom talent. Let me tell you something, folks. You've heard me say this before. If you want to see what kind of a manager the general is, go talk to one of the privates. If you want to see how well, how effective and how successful the general is, go talk to one of the privates. I learned that in the Army, Mary, and it's the same thing in business. And one of the things that's so important in any business is that it has a positive, constructive, fruitful culture.
Yes.
And that culture doesn't grow from the bottom up, it grows from the top down.
Exactly.
And the culture comes from the leaders.
And that old saying, leaders are like fish. Our organizations actually are like fish. They rot from the head down.
That's right.
And it's the same principle.
Well, the thing is a lot of times business owners will get their employees training, they'll get there's executives training, but then they don't get to do anything for themselves. And
and
coaching is a great way to improve yourself. And I'll tell you something else. It says to yourself and it says to other people, you know what? I know I'm not perfect and I want to get better.
It does. And I think the other part is you don't have to tell anybody you're getting coaching. You really don't. It's just another business appointment. But one of the things a coach can help you do is be accountable, is to stay accountable to some of the goals that you set. It's really easy to keep our eye off the ball, and with focus, it becomes very, very important, to be able to create a plan and stick with it. When we get busy, the first thing that tends to go is our own growth plan. And some people don't even have a growth plan. And that's oftentimes the reason they can't take their organization to the next level.
And only a coach can hold us to those things because our employees can't do that.
Right.
I mean, they can't make us do things, but our coach can say, you told me this is what you wanted to do. What are you going to do about it? Let me ask you this question, Mary, before we go. We've got about a minute and a half. How would we find a coach in our area? Let's say, I mean, I know you're available. We can check you out at your website. But how do we find, as the clock strikes there behind us, Mary?
Yes, the clock is striking.
How do we find a coach in our area? If we'd like to have one face-to-face, how do we do that?
To find a coach in your area, you really more than likely would want to take a look at, there's a national coaching federation that has some folks. But the truth is, I would go by word of mouth. Coaching is big enough now where you can look at different consulting practices in your area that have good reputations, and more than likely there will be a coach there.
Ask at the Chamber of Commerce, too. I'm sure they can probably help you with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that I have concerns about is there are a lot of people who do and not have a background in doing coaching now. So be really careful and interview that person. It's an important relationship.
And ask for references.
Absolutely. And you want to speak to three references.
And follow through on those references, too. Mary Hessler Key, MaryKeyAssociates.com. Thank you, Mary, for being here.
My pleasure, Jim.
It's always a pleasure. We'll see you next time. Mary Hessler Key, ladies and gentlemen, What Animals Teach Us. Don't forget to check out our books, too. 29 After. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.